Blog Talk Radio.
You ready to rock this town by now?
Greetings and welcome to our weekly episode of Rock This Town Radio with TC. I am your host, TC Clark, and along with my production assistant, Cuddles the Cat, we're coming to you from our Bloomfield studio in the 412. That's Pittsburgh, PA. Tonight is our 21st show, and it's a special one as Carl is with us for the whole show tonight. Welcome, my friend.
Greetings, TC. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it, man.
Oh, yeah. We've been looking forward to this one. It's a bummer that Rachel couldn't be with us tonight, but I've been excited all week for this show, which I titled Where We Live. And we've each picked six songs that personify the cities that we live in. Carl's in New York City, and I'm in Pittsburgh. So enjoy the personal tours of our cities that we call home. Carl, why don't you kick it off for us?
Okay, we'll do that. So when I was thinking about New York, I actually live in Long Island. I live right outside Queens. But each of the boroughs, there are five boroughs. So my idea was that each of the boroughs would be represented by a song. And there's one that's not, which we'll get to. But that first borough, of course, when anyone thinks of New York City, they think of Manhattan. And they think of Times Square, and they think of Broadway, and they think of theater, and they think of all this. And there have been so many songs about Broadway that I would play my favorite one, and I'll tell more about it once we get back from this. But this is what they call an answer song. So Wilson Pickett did a song called Funky Broadway, but this is Bobby Patterson doing Funky Broadway Ain't Funky No Mo.
Baby, I won't worry about it.
was great, Carl.
Well, you know, it's funny. I collected vinyl, and I bought out a radio station up near Buffalo, and I found this 45. It was on Jetstar Records by Bobby Patterson, and it was in colored vinyl. And I said, I got to play this. And I played it like, holy fuck, who is that?
I know. That's
and to be honest, there's very little about him known. I mean, the one thing I can tell you is that he did produce a number of people, including Chuck Jackson, Ted Taylor, Fontella Bass, Little Johnny Taylor. He also co-wrote a song called That's What the Blues Is All About, which Albert King recorded. And he also recorded a couple albums in the late 90s and early 2000. But basically, he worked as a DJ in Dallas on KKDA radio and did a weekly funk type of show and soul and blues and that sort of thing. But to be honest, from what I can find out, he only recorded 6 45s.
Wow. That song had every element of a great hit. And why wasn't, I don't understand it. But that was great. Funky Broadway ain't funky no more.
By Bobby Patterson.
There you go. Okay, that kicked off our show, the New York City. And, of course, I'm the Pittsburgh guy. And Pittsburgh is really a tale of two cities, but with a twist. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. And then it was the best of times again. Carl and I, both born in the late 50s, and many people even born in the 60s, remember Pittsburgh is one of the dirtiest cities in the world. Steel mills that lined the three rivers would spew soot from their smokestacks 24/7, polluting the air so badly that the streetlights would often come on in the middle of the day. If you left the house with a white shirt on in the morning, it would be gray when you got home. But by the mid-80s, because of labor expenses and cheap foreign steel, the mills mostly closed up around here, which left tens of thousands of people out of work. The future looked bleak for this town, but Pittsburgh reinvented itself and is now a clean, green city with a vibrant tech, education, and health industries. The three biggest employers pre-1984, U.S. Steel, Jones and Laughlin Steel, and Homestead Steel, were replaced by University of Pittsburgh Medical Center Network, PNC Financial Group, and Highmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield as the largest employers. But we're going to jump back to 1970 and let Loudon Wainwright III, one of Carl's favorites, describe the Pittsburgh he knew during the Steel City heydays. This is Loudon Wainwright III, Ode to a Pittsburgh.
Pennsylvania's western daughter, with your tubes of liberty. Princess of pig iron slaughter, with your boyfriend Carnegie. Oh, you a stained glass, you a smokestack. You are laid in cobblestone. You were trolley car tracks. And for you the red sky shone. And while thieves and black-sleeved buccaneers pitched and kicked their orbs, it was for you that I cheered my wild cheers in the field of Mr. Forbes. I sent sentiments from shady side. I paid homage from the hill. Oh no, it cannot be denied. One cola coke can't kill. Let the trees in Shenley grow strong. May the bagpipes never burst. Let the Allegheny roam right along. May I thirst the Duquesne thirst. May your steel mills stand forever. And your learning tower too. May Mellon remain clever. Good luck and God bless you.
Okay. Loud and Wainwright.
Your man.
Yep. Now, you know, the funny thing about Loudon is that when he came out, they were basically saying, oh, we got the new Bob Dylan. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
I
and
mean,
that might have hurt
him. That song is so quirky. And unless you know some of the references, like everyone knows the Pittsburgh Pirates, but they don't realize that they were called the Buccaneers or the Bucks. Right?
Well, and he talked about the Tubes of Liberty, Liberty Tunnels.
Right.
Which is why when I heard the song, I wasn't, you know, I knew the song. I haven't heard it in 50 years. But I went back to see if he actually lived here. He knew so much about Pittsburgh that I thought, man, the guy must have lived here at least for a month or so, but he didn't, that I could find out.
No.
So, I mean.
Never did.
He nailed it. He sang it like a local.
Yeah. And you know, I like the Duquesne Thirst, too, because nobody remembers that.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks of Iron City as the beer.
You're exactly right.
And here's
on
one for you. Remember I used to like Stoney's?
Yeah.
Remember?
Stoney's.
Ottawa Grove? Like, where the fuck did you get that?
Yep. And then they had Old Frothing Slosh. Here in Pittsburgh was another one. You remember that one?
Yep.
So.
Yep. And, of course, you know, we used to go down to Straub's, too, but that's St. Mary's. That's not really Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Carl, let's go back to New York City and see what you got for us.
Okay, so we're moving from Manhattan to Brooklyn. And I was looking at Brooklyn songs, and there are two songs by Neil Diamond, which are really good. But I tend to go for the darker songs. So we're going to do Brooklyn on a Saturday Night by Neil Diamond.
Yeah, and I mentioned the other one to you that I knew, which is you know, like kind of growing up in Brooklyn, Brooklyn Roads. If anybody's not familiar with that song, look it up. It's a great song. But Dark Carl had to have this one. Ready
Absolutely.
For it,
buddy? Yeah, I got it. So here we go, Brooklyn on a Saturday Night. It's like we're in West Side Story.
Yep.
Some they come for the dance, and some they come for the fight. Either way, take your chance. Brooklyn on a Saturday night. Yeah, that's how they happen to meet. When they met, it was right. Fell right in with the beat. Brooklyn on a Saturday night. He had nothing much planned. She was there with a man. But
But when he saw her, he couldn't ignore her. The whole thing just got out of hand. On Saturday night, happened out in Brooklyn on a Saturday night. Saturday night, yeah. I'm talking about Brooklyn on a Saturday night. Saturday night, yeah. Oh, she meant to be good. Though he tried to do right, but things got misunderstood in Brooklyn on a Saturday night. He ended up having some words with that punk who brought her there first. She came between them, a sharp blade was seen, and she ended face down in the dirt on Saturday night. Happened out in Brooklyn on a Saturday night. Saturday night, yeah. Talking about Brooklyn on a Saturday night. Saturday night, yeah, some they come for the dance, and some they come for the fight. Either way, take your chance. It's Brooklyn on a Saturday night.
What are you hearing in the background?
There we go. There we go. You know something? Neil Diamond is just so underrated. You know, I mean, as for me, every time I hear a Neil Diamond song, I forgot how good he was.
I mean, his popularity there, but I think what you're trying to say is his whole catalog is underrated because everybody knows the hits. But of all the hundreds, thousands of artists that have come through New York City or even grew up there, nobody, you know, describes a city like Neil Diamond does, you know, in that song. And like, you know, when I say the city, of course, I mean the five boroughs, but like Brooklyn, like the Brooklyn Roads, you know, the way he describes, you know, his childhood and living above the butcher's shop and all that. But yeah, there, and you have another guy that'll be coming up who is also like New York City, you know, I mean, that just, they describe it so well. I mean, you actually feel it. I felt like I was in Brooklyn on a Saturday night listening to that song.
You know, and the thing about it too is that each artist has their own way of connecting to an area. And that's true of any specific person.
Yeah.
Because I connect to the city in a much different way than, let's say, you would or you know.
Sure.
Someone like my Brooklyn Orthodox, my Orthodox friend, Jewish friend. You know, and there are so many things in this town that just are amazing. But we miss because we don't know, you know, everything about the city. So it's always individual. But the thing about Diamond musically is, you know, he wrote so many songs for other artists. He has we know Cherry Cherry and all that stuff, but you know, you dig deeper, you find
more gems, you know, and they're hidden because they're not as well known. This is one of them.
I have a DVD of him in Madison Square Garden. It's probably about 8 or 9 years now. But, you know, and he goes deep. In fact, he plays Brooklyn Roads and a lot of his older songs on this DVD. And like I said, sold out Madison Square Garden. And what's amazing about it is he still has the original band. Everybody.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
You know, from 40 years. Same people.
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, you know, he retired. Throat, right?
Right.
Maybe throat issues or whatever. But he retired,
yeah, exactly.
Unfortunately. So thank you for playing, Neil. Let's go back to Pittsburgh. Like many cities in the Northeast and Midwest, Pittsburgh's a melting pot rich with ethnic heritage. The neighborhood that I live in is called Little Italy, and to this day has some of the finest Italian food markets and restaurants you can find anywhere in the region. The next neighborhood over is called Polish Hill. There's a Deutschtown on the north side. While every genre of music can be heard in bars, pubs, and street fairs around the city, Polish polkas have always been prominent in any cultural events around here. Even, you know, Little Italy days, there's polka bands. As well known as Pittsburgh is for its ethnicity and its music, it's also known as a great sports town, particularly because of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So,
yay, Steelers!
Yeah, whatever.
Boo Bills.
Yeah, all right, whatever. Hey, you know, I'm actually going to play this. I'm actually going to play this song, so, you know.
I know, I'm impressed.
To stay in the spirit of Pittsburgh, we're going to play the Pittsburgh Steelers Polka.
And I'll be dancing, okay?
We're from the town with the great football team. We cheer the Pittsburgh Steelers. Chuck Moll and all his friends are all on the beam. Go out and get them Steelers. Hey, Bradshaw and Rocky and Franco and Lynn. We love you, Pittsburgh Steelers. It's been many years in coming. Just keep the Steeler machinery humming. Make them scramble, intercept the ball. Defense, defense, keep the Steelers always best of all. Mean Joe, do your thing against the other team. He's so tough from year to year, we're so glad he's playing here. Now join with me and sing the Steeler cheer. Town with the great football team. We cheer the Pittsburgh Steelers. Winning's a habit, not only a dream. Go out and get them Steelers. Gorillas, gorillas are here for the show. And so is Franco's army. It's been many years and coming. Just keep the Steeler machinery humming. Offense, offense, take the football all the way up the field. Offense, offense, let's score and score and never yield. Franco, Franco, can you believe we're having a running game? The Steelers are so great and so hard to overrate. Good things will come to those who work and wait.
boy, does that bring back memories. Oh, good God.
Does. Yeah.
Okay.
That's so, definitely
so
straight
I,
out
I
of
need
the
to
70s.
Step in on this one. I need to step on it because you remember my dad.
Sure.
Okay. Can you imagine we had that 45? We would play it, and he and I would dance and sing along.
Huh.
I'm not joking.
Wow.
I want you to envision that.
Yeah.
Are you scared yet?
I can't. Just for the simple fact is I know that, you know, anything beyond classical, he didn't want anything to do with.
Yeah, but it was Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
it was the Steelers.
It was the Steelers,
and,
yep.
And the thing we should mention is that when we were in Bradford is basically closer to Buffalo.
Yeah,
right on the PA-New York border. Right, exactly.
And so you had more Buffalo fans
than you had Pittsburgh fans, but that town was basically split down almost down the middle.
It was.
Go ahead.
In 1992, I was up there, and Steelers and the Bills had a playoff game in JJ's Saloon on East Main Street, where like half Bills, half Steeler fans. They split the bar down the middle, decorated half red, white, and blue, half black and gold for that game, which the Bills won. But the thing is, we had the bathrooms on our end and the Bills' end. So we let them use it. But yeah, it was.
You went
5 miles north of Bradford, it was all Bills. 5 miles south of Bradford, it was all Steelers. So, I mean, you know, that's the way the town was split. And it made some fun things. But back when this song was popular, and you hear the names in there, they're all the 70s Steelers guys. Mean Joe Green, Franco Harris. You know,
that's when I grew up and became such a big fan, and that's how I bonded with my dad. That's one of the few things that really he and I bonded over was the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Pittsburgh Pirates but more the Steelers. But you know, even when he passed away, he had so many Steeler robes and Steelers this and Steelers that. That man was all Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
So there's no way I could have been any other fan than Pittsburgh, or else I would have been dead.
That's kind of why I'm a Pirates fan, because of my dad.
Yeah.
So. Okay. So that's 3 minutes and 15 seconds of my life I'll never get back from listening to that polka. Actually, I had to listen to it about four times.
That visual of me and my dad dancing to it.
Yeah, I'm going to have a hard time with that one. I really am. I might need therapy
on
that.
You have to be naked, too, so... We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, that's it. Naked dancing with your dad? Oh. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, go ahead.
No, not naked.
Yeah, let's move on right now. I mean, right
let's
now.
Let's move on. I agree. So we are doing – I picked this particular song, which is a very well-known song. It's Me and Julio Down by the Schoolyard by Paul Simon. Now, there are many things that – people have questions about this song. But the line in here, Rosie, she's the queen of Corona. Now, everyone thinks whatever they want, but Corona is a part of Queens. I lived in Jackson Heights. You could walk to Corona. Okay? And in fact, we did, and we visited Louis Armstrong's house that he had in Corona, which is a museum. But this, to me, is one of the great songs about Queens, because there are other mentions of areas of Queens and down by the schoolyard and that sort of thing. Everyone thinks this might have some homoerotic sense, but I always thought it was more about drugs. That's me. There's so many different, interpretations of it. So why don't we go and do Paul Simon, Me and Julio Down by the Schoolyard, Mr. T?
Mama pajama rolled out of bed and she ran to the police station. When the papa found out, he began to shout and he started the investigation. It's against the law. It was against the law. Or what the mama saw, it was against the law. The mama looked down and spit on the ground every time my name gets mentioned. The papa said, oh, if I get that boy, I'm gonna stick him in the house of detention. Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, it's the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. Mama, take me away, but the press let the story leak. Now when the radical priests come to get me released, we is all on the cover of Newsweek. And I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Now,
great
do you
song.
Do you do you feel like you said there's a drug implication, like the drug
yeah.
deals going down by the schoolyard,
yeah.
like he's meeting
exactly.
Julio down there for that? Okay, I just wanted to clarify
you know,
that.
There are so many different interpretations of that, and the reason I picked that song was, you know, Queens is very interesting, okay. Because Queens is basically the intersection of three cities, Jamaica, Flushing, and Long Island City. And they all combine to make Queens County. And so there are these little subsets of areas. And you can go six blocks and be in a whole different ethnic area. You know, it's really interesting. And so, you know, the interesting thing about Queens too is the music and the different styles you hear. And so suddenly you're hearing rap and you're hearing salsa and you're hearing this on the same street.
Huh.
And that's one of the things that Paul Simon, and of course when he started Graceland and that sort of thing, he got into African, and there's a little bit of African in this too, but he adds a lot of Spanish, some African in this, and I like that mix too. So that to me says Queens. And of course you've got Rosie, the Queen of Corona.
Yeah, it's if you think of how Queens has been represented on TV, it's really its own melting pot. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just so many different ethnic regions, like you said, and it's just like you go a couple blocks and all of a sudden you think you're
in a different
Harlem.
Area.
Yeah, but you're in a different
yeah.
area, sure.
You know, sure. One of the reasons that Norman Lear put Archie Bunker, All in the Family in Queens, was that specific, because at that point in time it was very white working class, but there were the blacks were moving in, the Hispanics were moving in. And so he wanted to put it in a place in New York where you had these different influences that then could be represented. And then, of course, you know, how Archie, you know,
decided to react.
Yeah, got Archie's undies in a bunch a lot of times. You know, he'd talk about, you know, how the neighborhood was changing. And
right.
Yeah, so good one. And when you picked that song, I knew the implications of New York, but thank you for going deep on that, because I kept trying to get the connection of where you're trying to go with that, and you explained it well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's
not maybe my first choice, but I thought it was really indicative of where I wanted to go.
Yeah,
with what
yeah.
Queens was.
It represents Queens very well. So, Carl, you know that it takes you about 3 seconds to realize you're talking to a true Pittsburgher as soon as he opens her mouth and says something like, "Yin's going downtown." You know.
Oh,
no,
absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Yin's are.
Or the roof needs swept, or the floor needs swept, or the.
Or,
roof needs cleaned. Yeah.
What was that for? I got to re-up the house, which is like clean the house.
We're going
house.
To the Gin Eagle. We're going to the Gin Eagle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yinzers, as they are affectionately called and call themselves, have a distinct dialect and accent not found anywhere else. And this song we're going to hear is from a band called the Yinzers. And this is Growing Up in Pittsburgh.
Yin's gotta help me. People think I talk weird. I got a mullet and my Aunt Gertrude's got a beard. Our rivers are stanky. Our beer can taste like pee. A sandwich is made of pork, coleslaw, French fries, and cheese. We don't wear seatbelts. I drive my pappy's Trans Am. And on the radio, Led Zeppelin is a new band. Shut up and drink, you're barely even pregnant. That's what you get for growing up in Pittsburgh. Wake up and shake the ashes off your carpet. That's what you get for growing up in Pittsburgh. We won the Super Bowl. We bleed the gold and black. Many of our girls are big enough to play fullback. Don't be a jag-off. Yin's Arson Nebby with me. Heading downtown to pick up that doohickey. Shut up and drink, you're barely even pregnant. That's what you get for growing up in Pittsburgh. Wake up and shake the ashes off your carpet. That's what you get for growing up in Pittsburgh. Get out your couch and chair. The Penguins on the tooth out there. Sidney Crosby's got big hair. I saw him at Station Square. The gum band. I need to red up this high. I need some jumbo down at Giant Eagle. Down at Giant
Eagle.
That's the big bird. Can I get a pie? Oh my God, Steve, we won the cup!
Oh my God, I know, I can't believe it!
Them Pens rule!
The Pens are the best, man!
We're the city of champs again, baby!
You picked the game,
man! Oh my God, we're
the
best!
Oh my God, we're the
best! Don't be a jag-off, baby! Don't be a jag-off, baby!
Mom and Dad!
Hey, they're good, they're up at the lake
now. Oh my God, did they see the game?
Yeah, they were at the bar.
Oh my God, they was at the bar. We didn't at the bar.
Yeah, they had quite
they were all down there.
Super buffet.
God, they can't sing worse shit.
Shut up and drink. You're barely pregnant.
Yeah. Gum band. Fucking gum band.
Gum band. Sandwich.
Yeah. Sandwich.
Yeah. Boy, that has to bring back some memories for you. Talking of,
well,
you know hearing people talk like that.
We need to make this clear, okay? You know, that makes fun of Pittsburgh dialect, but trust me, people talk like that.
Yeah.
Will you back me up on that?
Oh, boy. Yeah. I mean, when Pittsburgh's always been part of my life, you know, living 3 hours away. But when I moved here 8 years ago and really started talking to the people that probably, you know, some crazy, okay, we got the Three Rivers. You know how that works. They come down,
right,
the
exactly.
Allegheny, Monongahela, come down to a point from Ohio. The first thing I found out here was people don't cross rivers. If you live in the South Hills, South Side, you don't come into the city. You definitely don't go to the North Side. In the same way, going the other way, they won't cross a river. And I couldn't believe it when I heard that. And I actually talked to some people here. Yeah, I never go to the North Side. I've never been there. You live your whole fucking life and you've never been to the North Side of the city. You know, but they talk like that. And I'll tell you what, it's a blue collar thing and it's a neighborhood thing too.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you get up around Brookline, Beachview, all those towns in the south side, you know, South Side Slopes, they all talk like that, you know, and you really, I had to listen intently to figure out what the fuck they were saying when I first moved here. But, you know, it's so cool though. I mean, it's just, you know, it's their own, you know, you got the accents over there. You know, in New York.
Oh, absolutely.
You got the Brooklyn accent. You got a Queens accent. You got whatever. There's nothing like a Pittsburgh accent, the Yinzer accent. Because where does Yinz come from? Okay, I see in, like, y'all in the South, you all, or in Philadelphia,
okay.
Yinz guys.
Yinz.
Yeah.
Okay, so it became Yinzers. Then it became Yinzers.
Yeah.
Okay, you ones. That's what it was.
Well,
it was Yuns.
Yeah, but, you know, how it got
then,
to there.
Then it got the Yuns.
Yep.
Okay, that's what it is.
And everybody says it.
Who was it? Was it, I'm trying to think. One of the guys at the radio station had a really, really thick Pittsburgh accent.
I'm trying to think.
Who was that?
I don't know.
I can't remember who it was, but damn it, we used to just I used to listen to him just like, wow, I love this accent.
Yeah,
I need to learn this accent. Seriously,
You can't. You have to be born with it. I really believe. You know, I mean,
you have to grow up in Pittsburgh at an early age.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can go to the South and start picking up their accent, or you can go somewhere else, but I don't think you could ever pick up a Pittsburgh accent. I mean, it's their own thing. And I get people telling me, you know, they're like, where are you from? And I tell them, they're like, yeah, we could tell by your accent. My accent, you know, I sound like everybody on television. You sound like, you know, well, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, Carl.
Yeah, exactly. Okay,
we're gonna visit that accent again a little later in the show. So it's your turn again.
Yes, it is. And so now we've done Manhattan, we've done Queens, we've done Brooklyn, but now we get into Staten Island. Now, I was looking for songs that were specifically Staten Island, and you know. It was kind of hard, and there weren't so many.
It doesn't seem like there would be many.
One. No, but I happened to find this one that I really did like, and it's an Irish singer of all things. His name is Johnny McAvoy, and he explains the song at the beginning. I could find hardly anything about him at all. And I know you look too. So,
yeah.
You know, it's a singer we don't know. It's about Staten Island. I like the words, and I really like what he says. And so we're going to do Staten Island by Johnny McAvoy.
They sailed over the horizon and up the Hudson River into New York Harbor was the Statue of Liberty, standing with her arm raised in the flame of freedom and the words of welcome written on the pedestal that say, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses." These words inspired this next song called Staten Island. Our ship up the Hudson River to the wild Atlantic. We said farewell on Staten Island. When we landed, there we had our tale to tell. We're the poor, the huddled masses. We have crossed the lonely sea, left the old world for the new world, left the old ways to be free. We left our homes in 47, turned our backs against the wind. From our ships of creaking timber, we bid farewell to a famished land. We're the poor, the huddled masses. We have crossed the lonely sea, left the old world for the new world, left the old ways to be free. With heavy hearts we left behind us memories of better days, home and talking, children laughing as we danced the night away. We're the poor, the huddled masses. We have crossed the lonely sea, left the old world for the new world, left the old ways to be free. Still we hear their voices calling on the wind, we hear the sound. Friends and loved ones, old and young ones, lie beneath the famine mound. We're the poor, the huddled masses. We have crossed the lonely sea, left the old world for the new world, left the old ways to be free. And now those years are far behind us. Now our spirits have grown strong in this land that gave us freedom and the will to carry on. We're the poor, the huddled masses. We have crossed the lonely sea, left the old world for the new world, left the old ways to be free.
2, 3, 4.
So
that was
I'd
fantastic.
Yeah, it
oh,
is.
That's fantastic.
Is.
You know,
yeah.
you feel like he's on the goddamn boat coming from Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get that feeling it's like 1880 and this dude's coming over. Almost like a first-person song. It was great.
You know, and the thing about Staten Island, too, which a lot of people don't know, so an immigrant would go to Ellis Island and they would be processed. They had two places to decide to go. One would be Manhattan, and the other one was Staten Island. And the majority of people went to Staten Island first, unless you had people that lived in Manhattan. Okay? And then what they would do from Staten Island, there would be boats that come into Manhattan, specifically lower Manhattan, because at that point, that was – very much an immigrant area before it was a financial area. And then they would get people to work on buildings and things like that. I mean, take a look at gangs in New York if you want to get an idea. And of course, you know, the Irish mob and all that sort of thing was part of it too. But you know, an immigrant story, because Ellis Island, New York, was the place
for Europeans to come over.
So basically, you made your choice, or, of course, a lot of it was family. But if you went to Manhattan, you stayed in Manhattan. If you went to Staten Island, you basically branched out to the rest of the country, didn't you?
I mean, that was like the rest of New York, too.
Yeah.
Because it was sort of like Staten Island was the area, the place where you went to if you didn't have people in New York.
Yeah, and then you
family
went from there.
That was expecting you, right?
So did, the interesting thing is not many, some did, but not many really stayed in Staten Island, where they did stay in Manhattan or New York or the five boroughs. So what borough was really the big Irish borough? Was there one specifically, or were they pretty much spread around?
They were spread around. Basically, Brooklyn was more Irish.
Okay.
Which, of course, you can get to from Staten Island.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That was a cool song. I really like that.
That's a great song. And let's not forget that everyone here, basically, unless you're Native American, we all come from immigrants.
Yeah, and one of our relatives probably came through Staten, or Ellis Island to Staten Island to Manhattan or whatever.
Yeah,
you are correct, my friend. And back to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Back to you. It's a nice tennis match we got.
I know. Well, we keep jumping between that Amtrak, that runs between New York City and Pittsburgh. That last song I played, I wanted to mention, though, you heard him say Jumbo at Giant Eagle. Jumbo's bologna.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they call bologna in Pittsburgh, Jumbo, just to clarify that. But in keeping with the Yinzer theme, local comedian Mark Eddy wrote the Downtown song. And this was recorded live on WDVE morning show about 10 years ago. But this is the Petula Clark song, redone for Pittsburgh by Mark Eddy.
I got a song here. It's a little Pittsburgh feel here. When Joe Grushecki and the Clarks ain't around and you feel all alone. Downtown, the box office lost your reservations for B.E. Taylor's Christmas show. Downtown, go down to the Edison, the girls are really pretty. The 31st Street Pub serves up the coldest Iron City, Mount Washington. They got a cool view up there. You can hop on the incline down to Station Square and go downtown. Yins can get eggs in that downtown. Shady side chicks are fat downtown. Something is waiting for yins. Don't hang around in the wrong parts of town where all the jagoffs go. Downtown, go see the Buckos, the Penguins, or the Donnie Irish show. Downtown, go to Charlie Murdoch's, you can check out the Granadis, or head over to Matrix, you can look at all the hotties. Liberty Avenue, you don't know what you'll find there. Maybe hookers or trannies with high heels and big hair. Just go downtown, a sandwich at Permanee's. Downtown, happy endings at Silky's. Downtown, something is waiting for you. Tailgating, drinking, and dancing the polka at the Steelers game. Downtown, don't make fun of the way we talk, don't call our mayor Opie. The Pittsburgh's home to Myron, Mr. Rogers, and Sophie. Squirrel Hill, Homewood, Wilkinsburg, if you dare, and we can ride on a tee, have lunch at Market Square, and go downtown, French fries at the O. Downtown, Southside is where we'll go. Downtown, everything's waiting for you.
Yeah, Mark Eddy.
Nice. Notice it's Yuns, right?
Well, he's actually from Washington County, 30 miles south. I played something of his one time on Down the Rabbit Hole. I can't remember what it is right now. We're doing comedy songs. But everything he mentions there, in fact, he was mentioning bands like Donnie Iris, the Clarks, Joe Granati, who was he was big. He was Iron City House Rockers, Joe Granati. But then he mentioned some of the bars and stuff. He said where you can get lucky or you can have a happy ending at Silky's. That's right down the street from me here in Bloomfield. But yeah, it's pretty cool. And of course, the Jagoffs. You know, we haven't even touched on that yet. You know, what a Jagoff is. That's a Pittsburgh.
A jack-off, right?
Yeah.
You know, someone who's an asshole just masturbates on himself and thinks he's cool. But in Pittsburghese, it's jag-off.
Exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yins are jag-offs. So we knew that. We've known that term our whole lives, buddy.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, that was my extra song I added. I found that. I thought that was pretty cool.
So, oh, absolutely.
That was Pittsburgh. And let's go back to NYC.
Okay, so I mentioned that we've got songs for the five boroughs. And I was looking for something for the Bronx, and I had a couple things that I was thinking of, but the audio was really bad. And then I thought of a song by Joe Jackson. And that song is Happy Land. But we've already done Brooklyn on a Saturday Night, and Happy Land is actually a lot worse because it's about an actual fire that 17 people died in a dance club up in Bronx because the landlord wouldn't fix the electric. And I thought that was too dark. But what I did want to do is, okay, so I grew up in Bradford. We used to go to New York to visit, you know, drama club, and you were on a number of those.
Yeah,
definitely. And, you know, and I love New York, so I decided with Richard Crowley and Rich Wandle and Peggy Angus all left for New York that I would go. And so I moved up there in the winter of 81. Right. So you get to a new city and you're trying to set up and you basically find a song that's your song. And I mentioned Joe Jackson because this is a Joe Jackson song. This was my anthem when I first moved to New York. Joe Jackson, I put out this album in 1979. I knew it quite well. And I'd always wanted to go to New York. And this was my song, and it's Look Sharp by Joe Jackson. Listen to the lyrics. You'll understand why I picked this song. It's not specific to New York, but nonetheless.
What a cool song.
Yeah. But that was my song. You know, it's got a, you know, I guess people would call it post-punk, but it has a real punk attitude. And by the time you left college to go down to Pittsburgh, when I stayed in Bradford, I got more and more into that ethos. And it's like, okay, hit me with your best fucking shot. See if you knock me down and I don't get up. And that's been my attitude all along. And you know that about me. You know, so that when I first moved to New York, that was my song. It was like, okay, this is the song that's going to get me through. This is the song that I've got to have the attitude to live in New York, because everybody figured, my whole family figured I'd be back in 3 to 6 months with my tail behind my legs.
Yeah.
Didn't fucking happen.
Huh. Well, you needed that. I mean, that was your anthem. That was your motivating song that, you know, nobody's going to knock me down. And if you knock me down, I'm getting right back up.
Yeah.
So, and again, I was wondering how this song fit into our theme tonight, and you explained it perfectly. And it's like, if it wasn't for that song, we might not be doing a show right now.
Yeah, exactly. Because it, you know, I mean, even when we've done Down the Rabbit Hole, Rachel has picked personal songs that meant something to her that was within the context of what you're talking about. And for me, moving to New York, that was huge. You know, I mean, my family was extremely overly protective of me. And I understand exactly why. But you got to go out and try to make your own. And I had to basically, when I left, I was not on good terms with any of my family.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I'll show you. You know, and that was the song that kept me going.
Well, my first move after leaving Bradford was Colorado.
Right.
Denver. So, you know, and they had the same thing about me. Hey, you'll be back. Yeah, I did, but I mean, on my terms, you know.
Exactly. And same with me. I came back, but on my terms.
Yep. So.
Because I ran the music store. I owned the fucking music store.
There you
go. And we did it my way.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that Joe Jackson song moved way up on my favorite Joe Jackson song list. I love that song. And now that I know the meaning it has for you, it's, you know, it becomes a special meaning for me too. Because I know what it means for you. So, okay, let's go back to Steel City here. And Carl, you talk to any Pittsburgher and ask about their favorite childhood memories. What do you think there's a good chance they're going to say?
Well, I know what the
growing
song
up
going
in Pittsburgh,
to say.
But am I
it's
right?
It's going to the amusement park.
Yes, Kennywood.
Okay, there's actually another one. I do want to name check Westview, because where we lived up in the North Hills, we were only 2 miles from Westview. So for me, it was Westview.
Yeah, that's
gone. But for most people, it was, that's long gone. But for most people, it's Kennywood.
But Kennywood's the park. I've never been there, by the way. Anyways, the amusement park first opened in 1899 and is only one of two such attractions like that designated as a National Historic Landmark. And here's something interesting, Carl. Mickey Dolenz of the Monkees would often credit Kennywood as the location of his first professional appearance. In the 1950s, he had the lead role as Corky in a TV series called Circus Boy. And they did a live tour. They did a live tour with his elephant, and Kennywood was the first stop. So Mickey Dolenz.
I knew that.
Did you really? Oh, cool.
Yeah, I knew that.
I didn't know that until I was doing the research. But this is local singer Jim Lang with Kennywood's Open.
playing hide and seek. I thought of a way to help them unwind. When I opened the door, they must have read my mind. They said, Dad, Kenny Wood's open. Everybody come and see. They said, Dad, Kenny Wood's open. So don't just stand there looking at me. That old jackrabbit's made of wood. It creaks and it rumbles like a poker should. Get on the racer, go for a ride. When you get done, you're on the other side. If you ride the thunderbolt, hang on tight. Gents to the left, gals to the right. Gonna ride them all, gonna stay till dark. Gonna take my sweetie to Kennywood Park. Yo, Kennywood's open. Everybody come and see. Yo, Kennywood's open. Why are you all pointing at me?
Mentioned like all the rides, and they mentioned the potato patch fries, which is like everybody's favorite. Well, a couple years ago, they eliminated them, and there was such a public, you know, outburst and rage about it. I mean, people were ready to burn the park down that they brought them back. So, I mean, it's such a tradition, and that, you know, that's one thing we're getting at about this show tonight about Pittsburgh is the traditions of the city, you know, and you don't fuck with them. Just like what's going on with the stadium. You know what's going on with the Heinz Field. Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
You would think you would think that, you know, the whole city was burned down or something when they took the name of Heinz Field off of the football stadium, made it Acrisure Stadium. People are going nuts over this.
Oh, absolutely. And I understand that completely. Heinz, of course, is connected to Pittsburgh so much.
Yeah.
You had a mayor that was the Heinz.
Well, you had a
70s.
Senator. Senator.
You had a senator, too.
Senator John Heinz.
Yeah, he became a senator, yeah.
The John Heinz History Center. You know, I mean, it's, yeah, even though Heinz hasn't been made in Pittsburgh in 20 years, in the corporate offices after Kraft bought them out, it's all in Chicago, there's still such an attachment to it here. You know, there's a couple of things you don't mess with around here, and that one of them's Heinz. And I understand. They had a sweetheart deal when the stadium opened. They got the naming rights for $57 million, Heinz 57. It was for 20 years. So it figures out for a little over $3 million a year. This insurance company comes in and offers $10 million a year. And Hines said, you know, fuck that. We're not going to, you know, no. It's not worth $10 million a year for us to keep our name up there. But the good thing is they're still going to have their Hines red zone when the Steelers are down on the 20-yard line. Both of those bottles that were on, that would pour ketchup on a scoreboard, they're going to be prominently displayed in the stadium somewhere. So Hines isn't completely going away. It's some insurance company.
And
name
people
on
still call it Hines.
Everybody.
Stadium.
You probably already seen the memes. Hines forever.
By the way, I want to get back to Kennywood for a moment.
Okay.
Now you did not grow up in Pittsburgh. You grew up in Bradford.
Right.
I grew up in Pittsburgh. Okay. And when Kennywood was open, they would have these ads on TV that were ad infinitum. I mean, you could not get away from these ads.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever seen any of those from the 60s particularly. But I want to ask you, do you know who directed them?
No. Can I
George
guess?
Romero.
I was just
George Romero.
That.
Yeah. George Romero did a whole series of ads for Kennywood.
Yeah.
The other thing is I mentioned Westview, and they found a movie, a short film, last year called The Amusement Park, which was filmed at Westview.
Oh, really?
Yes, and it was actually something about, you know, aging and ageism. That was the Lutheran Church had gone to George Romero and say, we want to do this film to make sure that people understand that you know, ageism and how old people are treated. Well, he basically did it as a horror movie, and the Lutheran Church took one look at it like, we ain't showing that shit. Well, they finally found it, and it's on Shudder now. And let me tell you something. It's fucking brutal.
Wow.
It's brutal. But, yeah, I just wanted you to know the connection with George Romero, too, on both the
Yeah, and, you know, Kennywood's been on television several times, too. There's a CSI crime scene investigation episode where they had a roller coaster enthusiast who died, told the park engineer he holds a marathon riding record on the Steel Phantom at Kennywood Park. And it was also in an episode of Without a Trace. One interesting thing is when the Steelers won the Super Bowl in 2006, Steelers safety Mike Logan, who grew up in McKeesport, Pennsylvania, when they, you know, asked him how he felt after winning the Super Bowl, what he's going to do, he said, forget Disney World. I'm going to Kennywood.
Nice. So,
yeah. But, they've been on Nickelodeon and everything. And yeah, it's so famous. It's so Pittsburgh. You know, it's just, you mentioned Kennywood and everybody knows where it is. You talk to somebody from Pittsburgh and they've been to Kennywood. Okay, Carl, let's take us back to the Big Apple. People in New York don't like calling it that, do they?
It's more of a tourist thing. The New York Tourist Board, basically a lot of native New Yorkers can't fucking stand them.
Yeah, it's like New Orleans with the Big E. New Orleans
That's a
with
whole
the Big
different
Easy.
Show.
They fucking hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so, you know, with Rachel not being here tonight, we all decided to do one more song. So I was looking for songs today, and I found the perfect song, and I did. And this is actually Janis Ian off her newest album. And considering that here I am right outside of New York City, in July, with it at 9:15 being 88 degrees out.
Oh.
Let's talk about summer in New York City, shall we? And this
Let's
is Janis Ian.
Do skies are blue, but I'm across the river missing you. But nothing like before, summer in kisses stolen in the dark, rooftop romance, sugar by the shore, summer in New York. What a time the strand, the men were hat in hand. Fifth Avenue was oh so grand. The heat came rising through our feet when sin and sidewalk meet. You dance into a very different band. Oh man.
Gorgeous.
When you and I were talking on the phone earlier about Janis Ian singing jazz, I mean, come on. That was great. That was great.
Yeah, a lot of people remember her. And let's face it, she's been around since 1967. This album came out in late 2021. Now, I had actually played another song of hers when we were talking about women in rock and roll, called Resist. And this comes from the same album. But, you know, I really got to know her in the 70s, Between the Lines and At 17 and all that. And I picked up every album of hers up until the late 80s. And a lot of people don't realize how much of a jazz singer she is. You know, people think, you know, she's a guitarist, she's a folky, and that's true, but she can do rock and roll, she can do anything, but it's always with this really interesting perspective. She was always a little different, and of course, you know, she's part of the LGBTQ community, but back early you didn't realize that, but she always had a really unique perspective, which I really connected with. And I didn't understand it till later, but yeah, you know, she's much of an outsider as I was, or any of us were in Bradford, because in a lot of ways you were too.
Sure.
You know, but to me, you know, I just love her perspective. God, she can sing. She's 10 years older than us. Listen
yeah.
to that fucking voice. Good God.
Yeah, and I never really heard her doing jazz like that. I mean, I'm like, wow, that blew me away.
Yeah.
Is that really her? Yeah. You know, because I wasn't, of course, I wasn't the fan that you were. And I was exposed to whatever was played to me, you know, on the radio or, you know, the few friends I had that would throw on a Janicean. But, you know, I always thought of her as and everything. And my God, that was just, she's one, you can tell a good jazz singer if you picture yourself sitting in a club listening to her. And that's exactly what that feel I had from that song. Of her, you know, sitting on a piano singing that song. Fantastic.
Yeah.
That was a good find. So that was you found that as your extra song. My extra song was Danton. So I'm glad we were able to add extra songs. And that brings me to my last one. Do you want anything else about Janicean or move on?
No, that's cool. Go move on to I Love Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh has given the music world many great artists. And, you know, you don't think of Pittsburgh as a music town, really. I mean, as you would New York, L.A., Memphis, New Orleans, Chicago. But there's a great scene here. I mean, you know, coming out of Pittsburgh, you had Perry Como, George Benson, Donny Iris. Since I moved here in 2013, I've become friends with a lot of the local talent, including a few who are sought after professional studio and performing musicians. One of them is Kenny Blake, a renowned saxophone player who travels the world on demand, but is never so big that he can't walk into a Pittsburgh club and sit in with a local jazz or rock band. Last time I saw him, he just got back from doing a gig in Saudi Arabia. So my final song, honoring Pittsburgh, is by a group I've seen several times, and all of them are great guys. This is Jimmy Sapienza and Five Guys Named Mo, featuring Kenny Blake on sax. And the song is, as Carl said, I Love Pittsburgh.
Give it a go.
You can leave your heart in Frisco, make it big in old New York. You can lose the blues in Chicago. I won't sell those cities short. You can roam from Nome to San Antonio, then Memphis to L.A. But if yin's ever come to Pittsburgh, and that it's for sure you'll want to stay. Come see the Steelers and the Pirates. What a sound, have a ball, hail the Panthers, cheer the Penguins, because
Well, I'm glad someone mentioned the potholes.
Look, a pothole. It's funny when you watch the video and he points down at the stage like, look at a pothole. And he mentions, you know, and you know this one, and anybody that's been to Pittsburgh knows this one. When you're coming through the Fort Pitt tunnels and you emerge from the tunnel and the city just hits you in the face, that panoramic view of, you know, everybody. So that's just so spectacular.
It is. It literally is.
Yep. So that's Jimmy Sapienza and Kenny Blake. What a sax player he is. You know, and like I said,
that was
he's
an
like
alto.
One of the,
that had to be an alto he was playing.
Yeah, it was. It was. But, yeah, he's always constantly flying out for private events around the world and stuff. And he's probably about 75 years old, I think. Pretty old, but well-known. And, folks, there you have it. A trip through New York City and Pittsburgh. What'd you think of the show, Carl?
Oh, I thought it was great, man. Absolutely.
I learned something. I learned a lot, actually. And I learned a lot about Pittsburgh, too, you know, just doing research on it. But it was too bad Rachel wasn't here to join us. But
no, absolutely. We do miss Rachel. But the one thing is Pittsburgh has always been what I consider my home city. You know, I've lived in lots of cities. I've lived in Pittsburgh, New York. I've lived in Chicago. I've lived in Fresno. And, you know, but Pittsburgh will always be where my soul is. Seriously.
Yeah. It's, I've been here, 8-9 years now. Mine is Denver. You know, Colorado, but
right.
I'm quite happy where I am right now, so it's all good. But yeah, this was fun. I enjoyed this. Next week we won't have a show. I'll be in Dayton, Ohio for the Dayton Air Show during the day, and then seeing John Hyatt and Buddy Guy that night. And Buddy is one of our birthday people this week, so. Let's get to the short list of birthdays, which includes a few one-hit wonders. We don't have a notable birthday until Tuesday, and that's Mick Jagger, who turns 79. Also on Tuesday, legendary drummer Roger Taylor of Queen will be 73. On Wednesday, one-hit wonders Bobby Gentry will be 78, and Maureen McGovern will be 73. Richard Wright, a founding member of Pink Floyd, was born on July 28, 1943. He passed away in 2008. A happy birthday to one of my bass heroes on Friday. Geddy Lean turned 69, and we'll hear from him in a second. And I'll be seeing Buddy Guy the day after his 86th birthday, which is Saturday. The dude is still out there rocking, 86 years old, turns 81 on Saturday. And he shares a birthday with Seth Abbott of the Abbott Brothers, who will be 42 on Saturday. Okay, we got a few birthday songs for you. And started off with Dobie Gray.
Day after day, I'm more confused. Yet I look for the light through the pouring rain. Know that's a game that I hate to lose, and I'm feeling the strain. Ain't it a shame? Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I wanna get lost in your rock and roll and drift away. Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I wanna get lost in your rock and roll. Thank you. man to think that I'm wasting time. I don't understand the things I do. The world outside looks so unkind. Now I'm counting on you to carry me through. Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. You've given me. I want you to know I believe in your song, rhythm and rhyme and harmony. You've helped me along, making me strong. Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I wanna get lost in your rock and roll and drift away. Give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I wanna get lost in your rock and roll and drift away.
Take
Geddy Lee with Rush and Time Stands Still from their 1987 album Hold Your Fire. The song features Amy Lee of Till Tuesday on backing vocals. Geddy Lee will be 69 on Friday. In the middle of our birthday set, Jimmy Cliff will be 78 on Saturday. That was his 1993 cover of the classic Johnny Nash song, I Can See Clearly Now, record for the Cool Runnings movie soundtrack. And we started our birthday songs with Dobie Gray. He was born on July 26, 1942, and died in 2011. Dobie reached number 5 on the Hot 100 charts in 1973 with Drift Away. Okay, Carl, what do you have coming up for us this week on the Deviant Legion Network?
Well, first off, I would like to say that time stands still. I would like to dedicate that to a former worker, co-worker of mine, Steve Hesselbacher. Steve loved Rush, and I looked at him like, why? But that's me.
Uh-huh.
But he loved Rush, and he would play Rush just to piss me off, and it was wonderful. So that one's for Steve Hesselbacher.
I loved Rush too, so.
Yeah,
Steve,
it wasn't
Steve
my
and
thing.
Steve and I have something in common. Did he hate the Steelers?
Absolutely.
Like I do?
Yeah, you both. Yeah, yeah. I'll have to tell you that after the show. We have a very special relationship, me and Steve. That's
all right.
But so the one thing I do want to say is that I know that you just went through birthdays, but I do want to announce two deaths that were announced today in the film industry. And one of them has a lot to do with music. And that would be Bob Rafelson passed away. Bob Rafelson was the director of Five Easy Pieces, The King of Marvin Gardens, Stay Hungry, but probably best known for his partnership with Jack Nicholson in producing and directing the TV series The Monkees.
Ah.
He also directed Head, which was their film that they did in 1968. So he passed away at the age of 87. There is another gentleman that passed away, J.D. Richter. Now, he was a writer primarily. He directed two films, but one film is just absolutely insane. It's called Winter Kills. It stars Jeff Bridges, and I can guarantee you that we will be doing a commentary watch of that this week. I've already got one person set. We don't have a time for it yet, but that will happen. I know that this week is sort of light in terms of what we're doing at Deviant Legion. We all sort of just took a unmarked vacation, more or less. But I do have to talk about one particular show that's coming up a week from Monday, something I have been working on forever, okay? And we are having a special on what is the best science fiction TV program of the millennium, and that would be 2000 to 2022. And we have 5 different people that will be on the podcast, including myself, Vicky, the queen of sci-fi, Vicky Love. We have Steve Marshall, Limes Marshall, who used to be with us. John Killian and Adam Ferenz will be on there. And we've all picked a different TV series that we think is the best TV series of the millennium. And so we'll be discussing that and also arguing amongst ourselves. And it's going to be really, really good. And we have a very special guest with us, Bill Reynolds, who is a very good friend of mine, Facebook friend of mine. We argue all the time about religion and TV and that sort of thing. He's been on the show once or twice, but his schedule is such that it's hard to get him set. So that's why this took so long. So we're going to be doing that. I know that we'll be doing a couple other, we have some things planned, like the first part of August is going to be Hell Month, because if you're in any urban area, And it's summer, and it's the dog days of summer, it feels like hell.
Oh, and then,
of course, later in August, we're going to be doing Back to School. And we'll be doing high school movies and things like that, and kids movies, demented kids movies. So we have a number of things planned. But this week is actually rather rather bare at this point. I will guarantee that we will do Winter Kills probably on Thursday, I think is what is going to happen there. All right.
And everybody can check Deviant Legion Network schedule for that. And as always, you can find all of our excellent podcasts right here on the Deviant Legion Network on Blog Talk Radio. Listen live or find any of our shows in the episodes archives whenever it works for you. Carl, my man, I thank you for being on Rock This Town Radio with TC tonight, and I hope we can do another show like this soon. Anything you want to add before I launch into my shameless self-promotion?
Well, it was a pleasure to be here, and I was just proud to be with you today for the whole show, as opposed to just coming in at the end. So, yeah, this was a blast. Would do it anytime.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to do it again. You know we will. And we'll try to get Rachel in, maybe some other people too. You know, I mean, as
absolutely,
you know, now that I'm more comfortable with doing this and we can expand into other things. But it was great because this is the first show we did other than my Taylor Hawkins tribute that didn't follow the format that I usually do. So it was fun to mix it up a little bit. And I really appreciate you being here for the whole show. You did a great job picking New York City songs. And we got to do this again with some other topic, but we will. So I thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you and good night. And I'll talk to you after the show.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Carl.
Okay. Good night, TC.
Yeah.
Good night,
John
Boy.
Shut up. All right, check out my YouTube channel at TCC77 for concert footage that I've shot at rock shows around the country. TCC77 on YouTube. And like I said, no show next Sunday night. I'll be gone, but then I'll come back the week after and we'll have, I'm sure, something good up my sleeve. Please keep Ukraine in your thoughts and pray for the country and its people if you're into that sort of thing. And please do anything you can to help stop the shooting here in America. On behalf of Carl, Cuddles the Cat, I'm T.C. Clark, and I hope you had as much fun as we did tonight. And you have a great 2 weeks, and I'll see you back here 2 Sundays from now. As our cool cats say, we'll catch you on the flip side.